As we journey through life, we must ask questions. We ask questions because we simply don't have all the information that we need. Only the most radical narcissist would assume that he already has, in his unformed mind, all the answers that life might demand. I have a feeling that if we are all honest with ourselves, we will recall times when we were so uninformed about what was needed, so clueless, that we didn't even know what to ask. I recall one time years ago when my car broke down, I attempted, in kind of an arrogant ignorance — that's always a deadly combination, by the way — in my arrogant ignorance, I attempted to open the hood of the car and fix the car myself. Now, after staring at the engine in a type of kind of lost daze, a friend, seeing my confusion, asked me if I had any questions. I didn't even know where to begin. I didn't know what to ask. I didn't know enough to even form an intelligent question, or the right question, and any question I would ask at that moment would simply give away my ignorance. Now, in the Gospels, Jesus also asks questions. But when Jesus asks questions, he does so for a very different reason. If he is truly the Son of the all-knowing God, God from God, light from light, then Jesus asks questions not to gather what he knows not already, but rather to give us the right questions. Okay, so first, there is indeed a rare time in the gospel when Jesus seems to ask a question because he doesn't know something. So, who touched me? He says to the crowd regarding the woman who grabbed his cloak. But this is rare at best. Second, there's the far more common occurrence of Jesus himself being asked a question, and then instead of providing an answer, he responds with a question of his own. He does this because those with whom he is speaking don't know what they're asking. They're asking the wrong questions, and Jesus responds with a better question. Should we pay taxes to Caesar? He shows them a coin. Whose image and whose inscription? Jesus, can we sit at your right and at your left in your kingdom? Can you drink the chalice that I have to drink? She had 7 husbands. Whose wife will she be in heaven? And to this one, Jesus just says point blank, you don't even know what you're asking. But lastly, there is the question that Jesus asks in today's gospel, which is unlike any of these. And it's an event so important, it's not only recorded in the Gospel of Mark that we read today, but also in the Gospel of Matthew and in the Gospel of Luke. In this passage, the disciples don't even know that there's a question to ask. And before they could ever understand the right question, Jesus actually first gives them the wrong question. How does this work? Jesus asks his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" Well, they respond. I can kind of imagine the scene. "People are divided, Jesus. There's a lot going around about you in the rumor mill. The polls seem to suggest 60-40. The majority thinks you're John the Baptist. Social media is abuzz. It says you are Elijah. There's a minority that believes you're one of the prophets, but they don't have enough gravitas to have a real voice in the public square. So the disciples are fumbling. And why? Because it's the wrong question. Preoccupation with what the majority thinks about Jesus is the wrong question. Self-consciousness about what public opinion thinks about who Jesus is the wrong question. It will always lead to confusion, vague answers, disjointed conclusions, all because the question itself leads nowhere at all. It's a dead end. Only from the backdrop of this wrong question can the disciples finally understand the right question. Jesus turns to them directly and asks, "Who do you say that I am?" There's the right question. This is the only question that really matters for every human soul. In the presence of this question, there was no space for their debate. There was no wiggle room for the disciples to smuggle in a compromise, no room for a politically correct consensus opinion. Nope. In the presence of this question, there is only Peter's profession of faith. You are the Christ. Now, Peter's response has an absolute quality about it. It is definitive. It's decisive. He declares, "You are the Christ." And this is not merely a statement of Peter's personal opinion or personal preference, as if he said, "I feel that you are the Christ," or, "Yeah, Jesus, it's probable that you are the Christ." No, he doesn't say this. It has the character of an act of faith, a declaration in which Peter invests himself, a statement of truth that Peter himself stands behind. This profession of faith in Jesus is not a statement that tells us something about Peter. It doesn't just tell us what Peter's thinking. It is more than that. It is a statement that changes Peter. Peter himself is changed. He is now bound to Jesus. This statement establishes a new relationship between Peter and Jesus. Now, after all, in St. Matthew's gospel, his account of this very event, this is where Peter gets his name. His name is changed from Simon to Peter. This is why. "Who do you say that I am?" is the right question. It's the question with the power to change us. On this side of death, this is the only question that really matters, because it is the question that can unite us with the only one who matters. It is the question that can unite us with him who saves. And when we believe, along with Peter, that Jesus is God, we are embraced by him and enter into a saving relationship with him. Jesus is God. Jesus is Lord. And without Jesus, there is no way to the Father. And this act of faith in our souls is all that matters. This is why only after Peter's profession of faith can Jesus, for the very first time, announce and predict his suffering and death. that he must go to Jerusalem and those other people will put him to death. The scribes, the Pharisees, the experts in the law, the court of public opinion. And only after Peter's profession of faith can Jesus explain to them that they all must take up their cross and follow him. He who loves his life will lose it, but he who loses his life for my sake will gain it. In closing, I would venture to guess that in each of our lives there is an anxious, gnawing echo in our minds of the false question. What do other people think about Jesus? I would guess that for each of us here, there have been times when we have placed our own union with God or our relationship with God in the scales of what other people might think of us because of it. Brothers and sisters, this is the voice of the wrong question. In truth, the only thing that matters is our answer to the one question that matters. Who do you say that I am? And following St. Peter, let us profess, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Public opinion will not save us. Consensus opinion has no power to free us from sin. Good esteem from the community can never provide sanctifying grace. Only Jesus can say. Only Jesus frees from sin. And only in him do we find the source of grace without which no one can come back to the Father. So let us be courageous then, and along with St. Peter, profess today and every day of our lives our profession of faith that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen.